shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. And will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR 4.840 megahertz, WBCQ 7.415 megahertz. There's streams from both of those stations over the internet. And you can also go to our website, kingidentity.com, at kingidentity.com. Go to our radio page and you'll see a live stream directly from our studios on Winamp, MP3, Windows Media, and some other players, so you can take your choice and get a direct feed there. Tonight we're going to have a special broadcast on the Great Pyramid. If you'd like to participate in the program tonight, you can call 877-924-7722. That's 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. It's a toll-free number. My guest is a man I've known for many years. He's a longtime friend. He's a pyramidologist who's been in Egypt a number of times, measuring the pyramid, studying the pyramid. He'll tell you a little bit more about the Great Pyramid, which is often called the Bible in Stone, and it is mentioned in our Bible. And so I'd like to welcome to our broadcast Pastor Lee Jandiber.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Lee.
Hope you can hear me.
I can hear you just fine, and hopefully our listeners can too. Tonight, before we start on the Great Pyramid, I'd like to have you comment on another subject. Back in April, we had a listener to our broadcast ask about where did Seth get his wife. And I explained to the listener that the person of Genesis 1, the male and female that were created there, were a pre-Adamic, Adamic or white race, and were not the Adam that was formed of the dust of the earth, found in Genesis chapter 2, who was given the breath of life, and Eve was taken from him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and also a living soul or a person of implanted spirit. The pre-Adamic white race is something that Pastor Confrey believed in, and E. Raymond Capp, the archaeologist, I've discussed it with him many times. And I know you've done a study concerning the ground and the dust of the earth. Would you briefly tell the people the conclusion of your study?
All right, Mike. First, I'd like to say thank you to you for allowing me to participate.
Well, we're happy
and
to have
I'd like to set forth a few things that I want the listeners to understand. First of all, I use Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And if any of your listeners have a Strong's Concordance handy, it might be advantageous for them to get a hold of it. Also, I believe that we should address our Father with His holy name, Yahweh, and the title of God with Elohim, which is our family name. So I'll be using Yahweh and Elohim, which are the Hebrew names and title of our God. I would also like to, at this time, open with a short word of prayer, because I've found out that without that, I'm really in need of help.
aren't we all?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask that you open our ears so we may hear, and open our eyes so we may see. Father, we thank you for the days that you have given us, and the knowledge that you have given us, and the understanding. We will give you all the praise and glory, Father. In thy holy name, Yahweh, hallelujah, and amen. I always use the name hallelujah because it means hail to Yah, and amen means so be it. I like at this time to go into some words, basically that once we clarify their meanings, we can see that prior to Adam, there were already white people on this earth. Now, if you want to open your concordance to the word earth and take a look at it, you'll see that it's used many times, of course, as the Hebrew word number 776. Then looking in the back under the Hebrew lexicon, we find out that that word is eretz, E-R-E-T-S. And Dr. Strong states that from an unused root, probably meaning to be firm, the earth at large, or particularly a land. Now, it is used in the King James Bible along with the word common. It's translated also as country, field, ground, earth, land, nations, way, wilderness, and world. Now, if that is not confusion, I don't know what is, because they take the same word, which means earth, and they translate it into all of those different words. I believe the Hebrew translators for King James were trying to hide something. But that word, that's one of the first words that's used in the Bible. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, Yahweh Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And when we look up this word earth, we find that it's used, let's see, let's go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the ground. I know it says earth in your Bibles, but ground is word 127, which is normally translated either ground. Its meaning is the meaning Adama. And the Adama is the race of white people prior to Adam and Eve. They arrived here probably when sent by Almighty Yahweh about 5,500 BC. And let's go back and look here what it says. It has translated that word 127, ground. Let's look up and see what it means. Strong's Concordance says ground is Hebrew word 127, Adama. It's from the Hebrew word 119, means soil from its general redness. It is translated into other words, country, earth, ground, husband, husbandman, husbandry, and land. Now, Adama comes from the word 119, Adam, and it means to show blood in the face, that is, to flush or turn rosy, to be dyed or made red or ruddy. Now, I know of no other race except the Indo-European white race that shows blood in the face, or can flush, or appear ruddy. In fact, we should be called red men from the color of our skin. So comparing these two words, ground and earth, when we look up the word earth, we find that it is used many times, and it's always 776. Oh, wait a minute. There's one that's 127. I wonder why they use the word ground in Adama and translated it earth. Quite obviously, they're trying to hide what it says. Let's take a look at Genesis 4:1. And now art thou cursed from the earth. This is God speaking a punishment to Cain after he murdered his brother Abel. Thou art cursed from the earth, which should have said ground, because it is word Adama, meaning white people, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. So, what do we do when one of our brethren are killed? We call upon God to receive our brother's blood from our enemy's hand? No, we cry unto our Father that our brother has been killed. Genesis 4:12, he continues, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, and a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Now there are 14 different earth races, it's estimated by scientists at this time, but there is only one race that shows blood in the skin. So he has been taken off of being the tiller of the ground, and when he tries to till the ground, it will not give her strength. Now, tilling means to enslave, as a king enslaves his people. And when Cain was driven from the garden, he became the tiller of the ground. But now, God has taken that position away from him. He is no longer the king, and he has given it to someone else. We find out that this is Adam, and this is Adam's purpose in being born on the earth.
So you're saying that Adam, The word ground is representative of the pre-Adamic white people, or
absolutely.
Adamites, and Adam was taken from this ground people.
Yes.
Is that correct?
I'll show you that. Here it says in verse 4:13, it says, "And Cain said unto Yahweh, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground," not earth as it's translated, "and from thy face shall I be hid, and shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." So he is scared to death. He's going to get killed. He's lost his throne over the white race. And now he's going to be a wanderer and a vagabond and a fugitive in the earth races. And that's exactly what he did. Now, in Genesis 10:32, it says, "These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations." Now, generations means families. "In their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth races after the flood." So the families and the children of Noah divided up the earth and ruled over the nations of earth races at that time. We go on to Genesis 18:18. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth race shall be blessed in him." So here the earth races, as we even see today, receive a blessing from us in the knowledge and understanding that our missionaries, in the help and assistance, look at the tremendous amount of help that was sent to Haiti by the United States. And even here now in the United States, when we're having great floods up in the north central part of the nation, they're getting nothing compared to what we sent down to Haiti. Now let's go on to Genesis 22:18. It says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth," that's 776, erats, it means the earth races, "shall be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Then in Genesis 26:4, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and to give unto thy seed all these countries," and that word countries there is 776, earth, "and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So we are to be a blessing to the rest of the earth as long as they obey the laws of God, as long as they don't fly their airplanes into our buildings and kill our people, as long as they do not violate our rights and our positions in the world. Now, in Deuteronomy 14,
saying that the earth people are those who were created many millenniums ago, but the ground people are those that were 5,400 B.C., and then at a later date, Adam was taken from the ground people and given an implanted spirit? Is that...
That's exactly correct. Now, what I want people to realize is that the reason we came was because Satan had rebelled and said, "I'm going to be like God, ruling over the sons of God." And Yahweh said, "No, you're not," and he sent his children down here to straighten this mess out. And that's exactly what happened. But in the process, we fell from the heavens and landed, of all places, on the ground. as a fallen people ourselves, seduced by Satan, and Eve was seduced and fathered the son Cain, and Cain then murdered his brother in a battle over who was going to be the next king. It's very confused right there where it's talking about that sin lieth at the door and this sort of thing, but that's just another example of where they have tried to confuse us into thinking, and also taking into consideration the flood of Noah, where they tried to show us that everybody was destroyed, so there couldn't be any Canaanite race on this earth. So you're right there, Mike. You've hit the nail on the head. We're down here to take over Satan's kingdom. We've done that. We're in the process of doing that. But in the meantime, we have to learn what evil is and how great our God is.
Of course, we're the sons of Yahweh, and we were placed down here for a purpose. I see that our time is quickly going away. Perhaps you could bring it over to some of our history as recorded in the Great Pyramid, which
yes,
is our main topic tonight.
The Great Pyramid is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, Mike, and it's the only one that still exists. And we turn to Isaiah chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, and it tells us about this great monument. It says, "In that day shall there be an altar to Yahweh in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to Yahweh." Isaiah 19:20 says, "And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt." All right, now if we were on television, I'd put up a map of Egypt, but we're not, so I'll have to describe it to you. In the midst of the land, it says. In the middle of the land, in modern English, the land of Egypt, there'll be this altar. There are only two kinds of altars. One altar is of unhewn or untooled stone. That is an altar of sacrifice in the Old Testament. And the other altar is a hewn or carved stone, which are set up as a monument and a witness to tell us something. So when we look in the middle of the land of Egypt, we draw a line down through the middle of the Nile Delta, which is a fan shape, and it comes down to the city of Cairo. And just outside the city of Cairo, at about approximately 30 degrees north, is this great monument, and it is set up with several other pyramids around it, and they are in the same design as the constellation of Orion, and the United States is symbolized by that constellation of Orion as being a regathering place of all of Israel. Now, if you look at that land right there outside of Cairo, that monument is sitting on the Giza Plateau. And Giza is a word which means lip, like the lip of a cup. And it's right out on the edge. And if you look north, you see the Nile Delta. And if you look south, you see the Nile River. 4,000 miles long, one of the longest rivers in the world. And this monument sits right on the edge, exactly in the middle. But as you look down on the river, it's beautiful vegetation, and if you look behind the pyramid, it is all sand and desert. So you're on the edge of the fertile land of Egypt.
Isn't it also in the center of the earth by various other types of measurements?
Yes. If you take a globe of the United States, of the world, and if you line up this globe and draw a line from the North Pole down through Egypt and the pyramid and down to the South Pole, you will find in the year of 2623, when the pyramid was built, that that line divides the land area of the earth, east and west, into two exact halves. And when you draw a line perpendicular to that along the 30th degree parallel and divide the earth at that parallel, you'll find that you have two halves of the globe, one with the same amount of land area as the other. So when you measure these two lines, the pyramid sits in the center of the land area of the earth, taking into consideration that the North Pole has no land and the South Pole is a large frozen continent. And also taking into consideration that the continents have all moved over the last 4,500 years since it was built. Also, if you climb to the top of that pyramid and stand on its top, it's 454 feet above the ground, you are at the average sea level of the earth. Half of the land of the world is above you and half is below you. And in the book of Job, Job is asked by God, Job, where were you when I divided the earth and set the sockets in the bedrock? And he's certainly referring to the Great Pyramid and its sockets, which are placed at each corner. So there we have a perfect alignment describing what the pyramid is. It's to be a pillar at the border, and that's a marker, and thereof to Yahweh, and it shall be for a sign, which gives us information, for a witness, which testifies to us, unto Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt. And there it is, the only wonder of the ancient world that still exists, that we can still see. And if people want to see the pyramid built by God as a marker for us, as a witness to us, they can go to Egypt. It's probably a little more dangerous than the last time I went, but you can still go to Egypt as a tourist and walk through the pyramid. If you want to, you can climb up the outside. You have to pay a little bakshish, that means something for nothing, to get a guide to take you to the top. But you can stand in the center of the world land on top of that pyramid if you so wish.
There are some other things about the pyramid that are amazing as far as the measurements. I believe it's more accurate than the observatory in Paris as far as exact relation to the North and South Pole, but there's other things as far as degrees of accuracy and the stones themselves, the way they were cut. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, they've taken sun strobes off the sides of the pyramid, and it is the most accurate building on Earth, even though it is the first large building ever built. It covers 13 acres. It has 144 white casing stones on the outside of it. It has 2.3 million core masonry stones, and it has in the ceiling of the king's chamber where the sarcophagus, this is a coffin without a lid representing the resurrection. This pyramid is dedicated strictly, and it gives us all the measurements for Christ. It tells us the day he was conceived, the date he was baptized, and the date that he was resurrected. And it tells us that when it was built 2,623 years before those events occurred. Now, if you travel from the Great Pyramid in a straight line and go up to the land of Canaan, you will end up, and the angle that you make with the 30th parallel is the same angle as the pyramid passages are, 26 degrees. If you go at that angle, you will end up at a little town that is 5 miles south of Jerusalem, in which they kept all of the sacrificial lambs as in their mangers, and that town's name is Bethlehem. Now, if I may, there is a man who has a CD or a DVD. The website is BethlehemStarMovie.com. And it's very inexpensive, but it proves by the conjunction of the stars that the dates that are given in the pyramid, though he does not know anything about the pyramid, the dates that are given in the pyramid are the same exact date.
You want to explain a little bit about the dating system, how it was derived, that the pyramid inch...
I'm sorry, Mike, it's very difficult for me to hear you. I can say again?
Do you want to explain a little bit about the dating system in the pyramid, how the pyramid inch was derived as far as a dating system, the inscribed line and the way it's traced through the passages?
Okay. In the pyramid, there was a royal cubit, which is the cubit of man from his elbow to his fingertips, by the pharaoh Khufu, who we believe was pharaoh of Egypt when it was built. And that measurement is 20.6 inches. And that's called the cubit of man. And that's the measurement that they used, dividing it by 100. It's called a nil. And it's quite short. Now, when the meter was invented by Napoleon, he measured the distance from the North Pole to the equator over Paris and divided that by 10 million and called it a meter. And so then they divided that up into centimeters and millimeters. But when you measure from the North Pole to the center of the Earth and divide that by 10 million, you end up with a 25-inch cubit, which is known as the sacred cubit. It's the cubit that with which the ark measurements are given. It's the cubit that Solomon built his temple with, and it's the cubit with which, using its division by 25 into inches, and it is the origin of the inch and the acre and many more of our English mathematical measurements. So using the inch, as our basis for measurements, every inch in the pyramid represents 1 year. And when you measure the passage systems and the distance from the first passage that you go into is a downward passage, the first passage that you come to that goes up is called the first ascending passage, and that represents the Old Testament. It's approximately 124 feet long. It's only 2 royal cubits high, so it's only a little over 40 inches high, which means you kind of have to waddle like a duck as you climb up and down this 124-foot passage until you come to the entrance of what's called the Grand Gallery, which is opens up 286 inches, which is really nice because you can stand up for the first time after climbing 124 feet, and your back says, thank you very much. You can go on up then from the Grand Gallery into the King's Chamber. And all of these measurements, that Grand Gallery is about 154 feet long. And right at the point where the first ascending passage opens into the Grand Gallery is also the point at which the Queen's Chamber passage comes in. And they form a triangle there, which gives us December 25th, 2 BC, as the date of conception of Christ, gives us then 280 days later for his birth, which was September 29th, 2 BC. And then you pass on to the top of the triangle called the Christ Triangle, and there is the date based on the measurement that he lived 33 years, 6 months, and 5 days, that his ministry lasted 3 years, 6 months, and 5 days, and that he was crucified on April 3rd. Of course, these days change as the day of the week changes. During every year or every 4 years, we have to add a date. So a day. Our dates change there.
There were some other measurements both preceding that and following that that fall on historical dates. Is that not correct?
Yes. You know, all this time we've been celebrating the birth of Christ on December 25th, when in fact it was when he was conceived, and we now realize that a child is conceived, and from that moment on, God counts them alive. And this great criminal act of abortion that's going on in the world now is purely murder.
Well, it happened when Christ was a child. Herod tried to murder all
the children.
He sure
did. He tried to kill all the
children in Egypt and so on.
By that time, that was when the wise men arrived, and he asked them diligently when the star appeared, and when they told him, he issued the order to kill all the two-year-olds. Well, Christ would have only been 9 months old if you count it from his date of birth. But you have to add, or he would have been 1 year and 3 months old. You have to add the other 9 months. And that's why Herod said, kill the two-year-old. So he knew that what he was doing.
I'd like to invite our listeners to give a call to our guest, Lee Jandiber, in case they have any questions or comments concerning the Great Pyramid or the pre-Adamic white race or any other question you might have tonight. Our number is 877-924-7722. That's toll-free, 877-924-7722. I might also mention right here, because this is a great subject that I know we're not going to be able to cover everything tonight, but we do have a DVD on the Great Pyramid Decoded by E. Raymond Capp, archaeologist E. Raymond Capp, which goes into great detail about the Great Pyramid. We ask a donation of $24 for the DVD. And we actually have a few copies of the same video in VHS. That's $22. But to our listeners tonight, if you'll mention this broadcast when you send for it, we'll give you the VHS tape at half price of $11. I'd like to close out our old VHS tapes. I say old, they're brand new, and they're perfectly good. They're the same movie as the DVDs, but they're not as popular anymore. And actually, if you send for any of our VHS tapes, we'll let you have them at half price if you'll mention that you heard it on this broadcast tonight. And you might want to mention that if a certain video isn't available, since we only have a few left of everyone, you might ask for a substitute. You can go to our website, www.kingidentity.com, and go to our video page and see what's available. And once again, I'll give our call-in number. That's 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number, and we'd invite you to call. Lee, why don't you tell a little bit about some of the prophecy we've seen fulfilled over the years as shown in the Great Pyramid, and perhaps some things that you can speculate that might be coming up?
Well, this knowledge of the date of the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ is one of the most important things that ties the pyramid to the Bible. It's the understanding that as we climb up the grand gallery and reach the antechamber or entrance chamber, that we pass from being in sandstone, that we pass into red granite. Now, the red granite in the king's chamber, which is where you go through the antechamber into the king's chamber, as you go through the antechamber, you pass over a line in the floor, which is September 23rd, 1979. If you measure the distances in the ceiling. Now, if you measure the distances in the floor, you have to add 28.6 inches because you come up to what's called the Great Step. It's actually marks the center line of the pyramid, and to climb over that step, you actually travel 28.6 inches farther. Now, 286 is a number in the numerics of the Great Pyramid. As I've said before, the Grand Gallery opens up 286 inches. And to be given this fact of 28.6, we didn't know that until after 1979. Now, we expected something to happen September 23rd, 1979, and we're quite disappointed. People expected everything you could imagine, and we were probably one of the worst ones, expecting possibly the return of Christ or an event such as that. Well, I would say we've got a better chance now. We're about 27 years later, 28 years later, and we're right now in the middle of a world mess. They are trying to take this nation over and turn it into a part of the world, one world government, with Canada, United States, and Mexico. That's why they don't block the borders. But the Mexican army is down at the south of Mexico blocking that border. So we certainly should be able to block our border. But they want us to be a three-state or a three-nation state to be part of this one-world order that is so well described in the book of Revelation. So anyway, here is an indication that the time is short. Things are happening that we expected a long time ago that many, many people have been waiting many years for. For instance, I have a list of about 22 incidences that have occurred since 1979. And if I find them here, I'll see if I've got it here.
Why don't you just hit on the highlight instead of,
okay,
you know,
let me just touch on a couple of these. Immediately after September 1979, November 4th, 79, group of Iranian students seized the American embassy in Tehran. 65 Americans were taken captive and held until the day Ronald Reagan became president. April 18th, 83, the U.S. Embassy compound in Beirut was bombed, killing 63 people. In 83, U.S. Marine Corps headquarters in Beirut bombed, killing 241 U.S. servicemen. December 12th, 83, U.S. Embassy in Kuwait was bombed, killing 6 Americans. And we just go on and on and on here. September 20th, 84, another one in November of 84, another one in April 85, a restaurant in Madrid, Spain, which was frequented by U.S. soldiers, was bombed. August 85, car bomb kills 22 in the Air Force at Rhein Main, Germany, all American. October 7th, 85, a cruise ship was bombed. April of 86, the bombing of TWA Flight 840 killed 4 people. In 88, the bombing of Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, killed 259. 2 CIA agents were shot and killed in January 93. February 93.
Now you're saying that all of these
World
events.
World Trade Center was bombed.
You're saying that all of these events greatly increased after the 1979 date?
Oh, yes, all of these things. Here we had the U.S. Embassy killed 250. The bombing of the embassy in Kenya and Tanzania, 224 killed. And
where are we right now on the pyramid inch system? Where are we in the Great Pyramid?
At what point? We have crossed into the antechamber. We are in a period, I believe, of 3 years, and how that will culminate basically depends on the American people and their voting rights. So, one way or the other, I think that things are going to continue to go on a roller coaster ride for our people. But
you find that in the symbology of the antechamber?
Yes. And that's a locking mechanism that was made to keep people out, but it was destroyed by the man who first broke into the Great Pyramid, the Caliph of Baghdad, about 800 A.D. So there are many more things I could tell you and show you.
I know that some of our listeners might be interested in you debunking or confirming, as far as that goes, some of the theories that are often on late night radio. You know, they have outer spacemen building the pyramid. There's talk of various other chambers. There's even talk of a tunnel from the Sphinx to the Great Pyramid. You hear everything from A to Z concerning the Great Pyramid. What's your perspective from a biblical perspective?
Well, I believe that as God's people learn to obey Him and obey the laws that He has given us, and humble ourselves, that we will be able to survive all of these. And it doesn't matter whether we survive or not. If we resurrect, then Satan has a little bit of a problem, because, how does he get rid of us then? But anyway, that's another story. I believe
Do you think that there are any passages and rooms that haven't been discovered yet?
They are saying that they do believe that there are some rooms. They drilled some holes in the walls of the Queen's Chamber passage. They've sent crawlers with video cameras up the air shafts that give air. You know, you can go up into these chambers because the air shafts are open and you can breathe the fresh air. But if you go down into the pit, you'll last about 30 minutes before you're out of air, and you've got a 150-foot passage to climb. So they don't allow anyone into the pit, but the Bible does say we're going to lock Satan in the pit, and there is a steel door with a lock on it right there at the first ascending chamber. So I would say that symbolizes Satan in the pit.
We have less than 3 minutes left. Would you kind of like to summarize on the Great Pyramid tonight? Any other points you'd like to make?
Well, I believe that we arrived here. The pyramid is 5,449 inches high, and that is the number of years between the base of the pyramid sitting on the capstone, which represents Christ. And though a lot of people have stolen it and tried to make the capstone something else, it is known as the all-seeing eye of Christ. So I believe that we as His people are protected by Him, and that we really have nothing to worry about. And all of the pyramid indicates that our resurrection draweth nigh. Mike, once again, I want to thank you for supplying this. And if you have any other questions, come in.
Well, we're down to about the last minute. I'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight. And I'd invite the listeners to write for a DVD of The Great Pyramid Dakota. We ask a donation of $24 for the DVD. Like I said, we have a few copies of The Great Pyramid Dakota in VHS. Close them out at half price, $22, regular $11, and same with any of our other VHS tapes, and you'll learn a lot of details in there. So again, I want to thank you, Lee, and invite our listeners to come to our website and write us or call us. And with that, we'll go to the closing announcement.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening, and send a donation to cover our cost, plus help with radio time, to Kingdom Identity Ministries.
Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.